From the Korea Economic Institute in Washington, D.C., you're listening to Korean Context, news and analysis from the Korean Peninsula.
Hello and welcome to Korean Context. I'm your host, Junie Kim. We have a very special episode lined up for this week. Our regular host, Jenna Gibson, is presenting on American media coverage of Korean news at the World Congress for Korean Politics in South Korea. Before she headed overseas, I sat down with Jenna to discuss her paper. Well, this is very exciting. We have the host of Korean Context with us, Jenna Gibson, in a reverse position. She's the one being interviewed today. So I believe you've never been formally introduced on the podcast, actually. So I'm going to go through your bio. Jenna Gibson is our Director of Communications here at KEI. Her duties include managing KEI's website and creating multimedia packages, along with organizing programs, and obviously she's the regular host of Korean Context. She also runs our media relations and manages our online presence. Before joining KEI, Jenna lived in 2 years in South Korea as a Fulbright English teaching assistant in Cheonan, where she taught English lessons. She also got her Master's of Science in Foreign Service from Georgetown University in 2015, and she got her degree in Journalism and International Studies from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in 2011. So, very excited, Jenna. It's good to be here with you.
Yeah, me too. It's a little weird, like you said, to be on the other side of the table, but should be fun.
Yeah. No, you wrote a very interesting paper called How Do American News Outlets Cover Korea? A Media Content Analysis. So since it's your paper, I wanted you to introduce it. So what made you interested in the topic to begin with, and how did you approach your research?
So what made me interested in the topic to begin with, I think everybody who has spent time in Korea or anyone who is focused on Korean studies has one of these stories where you are talking about Korea, you know, maybe you're talking, in my case, I lived in Korea for 2 years, talking to someone who doesn't know that much about it, and you get the question, North or South Korea. I know a lot of people have these anecdotes. One time, for example, I was calling my bank to let them know that they should authorize transactions in Korea, and the woman asked me which one. So, at the time, it can be kind of frustrating because as someone who pays attention to this, as someone who cares about it, I really wish people knew that North Korea isn't really an option for a place you can live. But it really got me thinking about the fact that this place called Korea is not necessarily something that people, the average American at least, knows that much about. And they may or may not know which one is the one that's our ally and which one is the one launching all these missile and nuclear tests. So that was kind of the inspiration from several years back. And then putting together my interest in Korea, my interest in, you know, some of the misinformation that people might have about the two Koreas, putting that together with my journalism background, the fact that I'm, you know, very interested in the media and how the media is possibly playing a role in this lack of understanding. That's how I kind of decided to look into this issue. And the way I decided to look into it was by pulling a lot of news articles. I got 2,581 news stories from 5 different news outlets. Basically, everything that these 5 news outlets have written about Korea throughout 2016. Pulled all of those, went through and said, is this about North, South, or both? And then put that all together and figured out how much is the media talking about North Korea versus South Korea? How much are they talking about both? And then did a little bit of an analysis on what that could mean for how people view the two Koreas.
Yeah, to add to your list of anecdotes, when people usually ask me what my ethnicity is and I say Korean, the follow-up question is pretty much always, which one? So yeah, it happens quite often. Another thing that you looked at your research here is, in addition to breaking it down by North, South, or both, you also did a word analysis in terms of the frequency of the most common words used in headlines and broke that down. And I thought it was very interesting that in your research you found the top 3 words were nuclear, missile, and test. And obviously those all point into one very specific Korea. So can you talk about that part of your research and what implications you found in that?
Yeah, definitely. So aside from just looking at how much people are talking about North versus South, I wanted to get a little bit deeper. And this is pretty preliminary. There's a lot more research that can be done and exactly how these news outlets are talking about the two Koreas, doing a little bit more depth. But just on a surface level, I wanted to see a little bit more about the types of topics, the types of things they're talking about when they do talk about the two Koreas. So I took literally 2,500 headlines from all of these news stories that we already had pulled and split it up into individual words and then figured out which words are mentioned most often. And as you mentioned, once you take away in of those ones, and I also took out the word Korea because that's just always going to be in there and it doesn't really tell you anything about the content besides the fact that it's about Korea. So once you take away those words, the top one was nuclear, like you said, and that was mentioned 204 times in these headlines. So nuclear missile tests were the top three, very clear what they're talking about there. But what was interesting to me was that number four was actually US. So that's interesting because it means and it shows that the United States has a really important and a big role in what's going on the Korean Peninsula. If the United States wasn't a big player, wasn't that important in the peninsula, then they wouldn't show up that often. So I thought that was really interesting. It really does plant this idea in people's mind that the U.S. is an active player, is playing a huge role, and is important for the Korean Peninsula. And the next one was China. So again, especially as President Trump has been saying, China does play a big role when it comes to North Korea in particular, but also South Korea. There's a lot of news stories about the THAAD missile deployment and China's argument with South Korea about that. So a lot of news articles about China's role in some issues on the peninsula as well. So basically all of these things, the bottom line is that when you boil it down to the keywords that are showing up in these headlines, you can kind of get a picture of how the American public is going to view the peninsula through these news stories. If they aren't getting any other information, then their picture of the Korean Peninsula is going to be nuclear missile tests, US-China, basically. And those are the important things to pay attention to. So that's the kind of general trend that I was trying to describe through this paper is, you know, these are some of the ideas that the American public could be getting through the media coverage. I do want to say one other thing that I thought was really interesting. The number 10 most commonly used word in these headlines is the word sanctions or sanction. And that was mentioned 83 different times. A lot of the headlines were things like UN discusses new sanctions after a missile test or something like that. And in contrast, the word engagement or engage was mentioned 4 times. And 2 of those times were headlines that said, it's time to stop engaging with North Korea or something to that, something like that. So sanctions is mentioned 83 times, engagement is mentioned 4 times, and 2 of them are explicitly negative. Which one do you think the American public is going to see as more important or more salient in this situation? That's the kind of trend that I'm really interested in learning more about and doing more research about.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up because you looked at specifically 2016, and we just had a recent election in South Korea. There's a new president, President Moon Jae-in, who has stated that he is more open to engagement options. So 2017 and further on analysis would be interesting to see how much engagement is brought in relation to sanctions.
Definitely, yeah. I do want to say that I limited this study to 2016 for a couple of reasons. Number one, I wanted it to be the most recent full year that we had. I want it to be up to date, you know, not going too far back. But there are some limitations with 2016. For example, President Park Geun-hye was going through the big scandal at the time and the impeachment. So that did have a lot more news in the South Korea category than I think an average year would have. So just to give you an idea, the scandal was towards the end of 2016. It was basically the last 3 months of 2016. And it was still the subject of a quarter of the total stories about South Korea for the entire year. So even though it didn't even come up until the last part of the year, it still took up a huge chunk of the coverage for the South Korea-focused stories that I found. So in an average year, or, you know, say 2015, 2014, without such a big political scandal in South Korea, the balance between North and South might have been even more tipped. So that is a limitation, and something that I would like to do is expand the time that I'm looking at. But for now, it was just focused on 2016.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see, just because certain events like that are hard to predict, like that or the Olympics. Well, the Olympics you can predict. Or the Samsung, the phones exploding. You never know what grabs the attention of the international media and what may get a greater amount of attention from them. So just to give our listeners and I just the basic rundown of what the numbers were, out of the 2,581 articles, 46.3% were about North Korea, 32.2% were about South Korea, and 21.5% were both. And like you had mentioned, 2016 was a rather interesting year where South Korea was in the headlines more than you would normally think it would be. So it would be interesting to see how 2017 turns out, or the year before that, 2015. So in terms of your research, you only focused on kind of one snapshot of the media, and specifically the American media. But what avenues do you think there are for furthering your research to kind of look into more of how the media affects consumers of the news?
Right. So this paper is mostly focused on a theory called agenda setting. And as I mentioned, it's basically looking at how often something is mentioned, usually in comparison to something else. And therefore, one thing is seen as more important than the other. So in this case, when you look at how much North Korea is mentioned in comparison with South Korea, when North is mentioned a lot more, then we see North Korea as more important. But it doesn't necessarily tell us how those things are being talked about in any detail, and how that could affect people's views or opinions on the issue itself, or their opinions on how to solve the issue. So that's something I really want to get into more. And it would be really interesting to look at a couple of different things. Number one, who is seen as responsible for what's going on? So a lot of the headlines, a lot of the pictures in the news stories that I pulled will specifically have a mention or a photo of Kim Jong-un. So is Kim Jong-un shown as the person who's responsible for this issue? And if we could just get him on our side or get him to do something, then the problem could be solved. So are we seeing Kim Jong-un as the main focus for North Korea policy? Or are there more stories that give you a little bit more context? You know, this is a complicated issue. South Korea plays a role. Japan plays a role. China, Russia. How much is it shown as a issue on which the international community has to cooperate and work together to solve this kind of nebulous problem of North Korea? So it would be really interesting for me in future research to focus on where is the attribution of responsibility and who is shown as the lead actor. Like I said, the fact that the U.S. is mentioned a lot, the fact that China is mentioned a lot, shows that they play a role, but how are they mentioned? That kind of thing would be really interesting to look more into. And in that similar vein, I'm also really interested in the role of South Korea and how they are portrayed within stories about the North and about the nuclear missile threat in particular. So, for example, President Trump caught flack earlier this year when he released a statement about North Korea and failed to mention South Korea as our ally and as playing a role in the region. And that was something that was definitely noticed by people in Korea and in the Korea policy community. And I'm really curious, anecdotally, it seems like that's not unusual in the media for the North Korea situation to be viewed as us versus them. Maybe China's playing a little bit of a role, but South Korea being mentioned as playing an active role in their own defense is a little bit less common, it seems. And it also plays into some of the rhetoric from then candidate Trump, but you know, now President Trump, on burden sharing. Is South Korea not seen as not playing enough of a role, not paying enough for their own defense? Which, just for the record, is not the case. They're, you know, contributing and they're definitely an active participant. But if they're not seen that way through the media, then some of the rhetoric about burden sharing could be more accepted by the American public because they don't necessarily know what the true case is. So yeah, how South Korea is portrayed is something that's really interesting to me. So those are just a couple of things that I'm really hoping to look into in more depth in the future.
It's interesting. You cite one study here from 2014 that says 60% of Americans that were polled in the study had only read the news headlines in the previous week and not the actual story, as opposed to 40% that spent time reading or watching or going into the news story beyond a headline. So I think that shows the impact that just a headline has and how people in America consume their news.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is not that surprising to anyone who spends a lot of time on Twitter or Facebook and just kind of retweets things. I know I'm guilty of this without necessarily reading the whole thing, but reading the headline and maybe the first paragraph, if that. Yeah, so I think it really does emphasize the fact that these snapshots or the first impression is really key when it comes to news. And in that similar vein, another thing that I want to look into is how the images that go with these news stories play a role as well, because as they say, a picture is worth a thousand words, right? So, you know, if you only are scrolling through your Twitter feed or you're scrolling through Facebook, you're not paying that much attention, maybe only reading headlines, and you see a picture of a missile test from North Korea, that's a pretty scary image. Or you see a picture of a military parade, which North Korea has on a regular basis, and they have all these really scary looking equipment rolling down the streets of Pyongyang. The fact that this is shown very vividly and in a very threatening way, I think that does affect how we see North Korea, and it does have that kind of fear factor and might play a role in how we see the solution or how urgent we see the problem of North Korea as being. So those kinds of things, I think the headlines, the pictures, even tone of voice and video, those are kinds of things that are hard to analyze, but it's something I'm really interested in.
You have a slightly ominous note here towards the end of your paper. You mention, in a democracy like the United States, nothing gets done without the understanding and sustained attention of the American public. And you follow that up with a quote from Thomas Jefferson that says, "I have looked on our present state of liberty as a short-lived possession unless the mass of the people could be informed to a certain degree." And obviously with this most recent election, how people consider news or read the news, that's become a very huge thing. And how do you think that plays into how Americans understand North and South Korea and how they are supportive or not supportive of a particular U.S. policy towards Korea? How do you think about that?
Yeah, so definitely this is a very relevant topic lately, as you mentioned. The fact that the news media itself is being questioned, as you know, the role that they play in politics, the role they play in pushing back on things, the role they play in not pushing back on things. It's definitely something that's really important lately, and I think as important as it is for domestic policy and as important as it is for elections and things like that, I almost think it's even more important for issues like North Korea. And I'll tell you why. Korea is a foreign country, literally all the way across the world. A lot of Americans don't necessarily travel to Korea. They don't necessarily know that much about Korea. There was a recent New York Times story where they had asked people to try to guess where North Korea was on a map, and only about 30% were correct. So a lot of people don't really know about Korea, and it's understandable. It's far away, and you know, Americans in general don't necessarily travel as much as a lot of the other countries in the world do. And so therefore, foreign policy issues like North Korea and like trade with South Korea and the U.S.-Korea alliance, all of these things seem very foreign and very removed from people's daily lives. And they're not. They're very important for people's daily lives. I mean, when it comes to South Korea, do you want to buy a Samsung phone? Do you want a tariff on that phone? It's very important, right? But it seems very removed. And so when these things are taking place literally thousands of miles away, you really rely on information that you're getting through the media to tell you what's going on in that place, to tell you what's important, because you're not going to be going there yourself, or you're not necessarily going to be spending a lot of time doing all the background research on what's going on in Korea when you have 10 million other things going on in your life. people do really rely on those with more knowledge of the situation, including the news media. So when it comes to something like the North Korean problem or like the US-Korea alliance, the way that the news media are portraying those issues can have a huge impact on people's opinions, even more so than something that they're maybe paying a little bit more attention to, such as, you know, the domestic economy or some of the other election issues that come up. So, you know, when I talk about things like, you know, is South Korea seen as a passive player, an active player in the news media, I think that really can have a role in how people view South Korea, because they don't really have any other context for it in most cases. So, yeah, I think it can have an ominous note. I think I was hoping it to be something that we look into more, we pay attention to, we keep in mind, not necessarily this is the way that it's going, that it has to be or that it's going to be, but let's pay attention to this because it does matter. So that's kind of the note I was hoping to end on with the paper.
Yeah, just to bring in a historical context, the Korean War is often referred to as the Forgotten War, and you wouldn't want that same type of mistake or mentality to happen again for the American public. Well, thank you, Jenna, so much for sitting down and talking about your paper. We look forward to your presentation in Korea next week. And yeah, just thanks for your time.
Yep. Thanks, Junie. That's all for this episode of Korean Context. As always, if you like our podcast, please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you here again next week.